This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. As we prepare for Easter, we observe a period of time known as Lent, the 40 days prior to Easter Sunday, the first day of Lent on Ash Wednesday, which was February 17th this year. Ashes were placed on the foreheads of the faithful in the sign of the cross to remind them of Christ's death, of the sorrow one should feel for his or her sins, and of the necessity of repenting. Lent is a special time of reflecting in prayer and fasting upon the importance of our redemption and salvation, made possible through not only Christ's suffering on the cross, but including his resurrection. This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage, inviting you to visit us this Lenten season at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan. We are a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Greetings in the name of Christ, our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. On this Monday, Thursday evening, let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, we thank you that as we gather here on this Thursday evening, we will remember a new covenant. A new covenant through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we can't get to a resurrected Christ without a crucified Christ. It is a somber thing, a sacred thing that we remember tonight. For in his death, we see his humanity. We hear his cries in pain, agony, calling out, his humanity, his life given, his blood shed. Hear our prayers in Christ's name. Amen. Join me now in your bulletin for our call to worship. This is a day to remember. We remember the Passover Jesus shared with his disciples. We remember his new covenant of broken bread and shared cup. Remember his night alone in the garden in prayer. We remember his arrest, his trial, his suffering, the denial of his friend. We remember this day and thank God for Jesus' presence with us then and with us now. Amen. This time, let us prepare to go before the Lord in prayer. Are there special needs you would lift up this evening before we pray? O gracious and loving God, hear our prayers. We lift them before you in full confidence that you hear them. When your children call upon you as a good parent, you attend an ear, and we have your attention. And Father, you want to hear from us for the large things and the small. You want to be in conversation with us, for you've even numbered the hairs on our head. So, Father, let us come to you in every time in our life, through our struggles and in our joys, in the small things, the small decisions, and in the large ones as well. Let us find ourselves in your presence. Father, forgive us of our sins. Touch our hearts that we may love as we have been loved. Touch our eyes that we may see as you see. Open our ears that we may hear what you would want us to hear. Lift our hands that we may serve as you would call us. Tame our tongue that our words would be sweet, encouraging, and uplifting. Moisten our lips for the kiss of someone hurting or someone we love. Father, move within us by your grace and in your mercy. Mercy upon us that we may share mercy with others. Let us live in humility and gratitude for your love that endures forever, for your presence promised to us and your Spirit given as a gift because of Christ's ascension to you. All of these things are miraculous and beyond our understanding. It's beyond our understanding how a Father could love us so much that he would let his Son die for our sins. It's hard to believe that Christ would love his Father and that which his Father loved enough to come and to die for us. To be treated the way he was treated, betrayed by his own disciples. Father, it's more than we can comprehend, more than we can understand. So it is by faith that we find ourselves following, gratitude, thankful. So, Father, we thank you for all of your grace and mercy. May we put ourselves to use according to your will, to love as you have called us, and to care as you have cared. And now may you hear us as we pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. If you would now, let us join together in your bulletin with our prayer of confession. Let us stand to pray together. Gracious God, we gather this evening hour as friends gathered with Jesus in an upper room long ago. We come bearing the marks of a bitter and broken world. We come from anonymous places with dry and thirsty spirits. Remind us in the breaking of the bread of our need and of your sufficiency. Refresh us and make us whole with the cup of forgiveness. Draw us nearer to each other in mutual service and closer to you in the covenant of faithfulness and thanksgiving. As the night advances, deepen in us a sense of your steadfast love for us in Jesus Christ, our friend and redeemer. Amen. Matthew 26:17-30. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, The teacher says, My time is near. I will keep the Passover at your home with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him, one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." And he replied, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The word of God for the people of God. In what seemed like a lifetime ago, I had gotten out of the United States Marine Corps and had made my way back to North Carolina and decided to go back to school and become a police officer. I thought going from military to police was kind of, you know, a nice transition, whatever. Well, back then, this is in the dark ages for some of you. For some of you, it's not. It's not in the dark ages if you have used this. If you haven't used this, it's in the dark ages for you. This was a phone like this that I used in the office of the police department to answer calls. And the radio we used to call out on, you had to turn on a good 10 minutes before you were going to use it so all the tubes could warm up. It was back in the day. Well, Jesse Glenn was one of the first people I met. Jesse was the director of our brand new. We actually had two in McDowell County. Two ambulances. He was the director of the new ambulance service. The funeral homes were stepping off from being the ambulance. How many of you remember when that was the way it was? I mean, I think even here. You know, I have to tell you, I don't know if I would want to ride in the hearse to the hospital. Maybe they would want to know if you were coming or going or something. You know, I think I would just be uncomfortable having the undertaker saying, "Sir, we're going to take you to the hospital now." Knowing that ain't how he makes his living, you know. But I noticed that, you know, as a police officer, they required that we, with this new ambulance service, get our EMT license. So we had to become police officers, EMTs, and all of that stuff because there was only two ambulances in the county. And back then, the fire department did not respond. See, it's been a long time ago. So an ambulance could be 30 to 45 minutes away. So we had to become EMTs, and I remember learning CPR. How many of you have learned CPR? Babies, infants, older people, you know, all that stuff, and the compressions, all the rules have changed. You've got to relearn it now. It's different than it was back in the dark ages. We didn't have dummies to practice on. We didn't. You know, it's just the way it was. But I learned something. You could revive somebody with CPR, and all you were doing was bringing them back to the point of death. They still had whatever medical issue it was that caused them to need CPR. I learned that if you got IVs going, all of those things, you could bring them back to the point of distress, but they had to go in for more care. And now later in life, I've learned that when you have a heart attack, things ain't never like they were before. It ain't new anymore. It's different, radically different. So when I was reading this, I was thinking about Monday, Thursday, and I was thinking about what Jesus was doing in the bread and the cup and the Passover meal, and Judas was there, and Judas was part of this, and he would betray him, yet he let him stay for the meal. And I'm thinking, and in one of the Gospels, he'll then wash feet. And the word that kept sticking in my brain was the word new. We had the law, whereby you had to keep a set number of rules, you had to sacrifice an animal, and you had to do it every year. You know, you had to keep going back. Kill the animal again, kill the animal again, kill the animal again. That's where we get the word scapegoat. And I just thought, thank God that the priest, the pastor, don't have to do that anymore. I cannot imagine on those feast days what it looked like in that temple courtyard around that altar, as all of those animals were put to death. But that word new kept sticking in my mind. And I thought about it. And I thought about it. And it's only God that makes all things new. You see, CPR resuscitates. God revives. God resurrects us. God gives us life. So as we look at a Monday, Thursday, the death of Jesus is a horrible thing. But this new covenant, this covenant with his body and his blood, is new. We don't have to go to the temple every year. We don't have to go. We don't have to have someone go for us. We have within us his grace and Holy Spirit. We believe in what's called the priesthood of the believer. When you pray to God in the name of Jesus. When you worship God in the name of Jesus. That's the way it works. Christ is our mediator. He's our person who gets us there. And without him, you can't get there. It's a new covenant. For us, it's not that all that new. It's a few thousand years old now. And sometimes I think when we come to the table, we forgot what a cost it was to give us this new covenant, this new deal, this new hope, this new. It cost him his very life. He gave us his humanity. You see, like us, he knew what it was like to be hot and cold, tired and hungry. He even said one time he even didn't have a place to lay his head that was his. So he knew what it was like to be homeless. He knew what it was like to be betrayed. He knew what it was like to be challenged. He knew what it was like to be praised. And I'm certain that even in that upper room, he's remembering the waving of the palm branches and the hosannas that were shouted. And as he broke that bread, I believe there was a smile, for he knew he was going to make all things new. I believe as he handed that cup and they dipped and shared in that cup, that he knew that this symbol would endure the ages as it has and would encourage people as it does even today. I encourage us to take the bread, take the cup, and do so in gratitude and humility. Don't let it become rote. Don't let it become just something we do. But may we truly remember a new covenant of the blood and the life of our Christ. You see, that's what Maundy Thursday is about. Maundy, mourning, grieving. It is this night that he would be betrayed, drug out of that very garden that he's went into to pray, chained, beaten, a hastily mock trial put together, found guilty with no evidence, taken before Pilate, who finds no fault, and a rapist and murderer is chosen to be set free by the very people who had raised palm branches at his entrance to Jerusalem. And yet on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." It's a new covenant. But let us never lose sight of the cost. Amen. Heads bowed for just a minute. Father, it is a new covenant. It is a covenant of grace. It is a covenant through the life, death, and later the resurrection of Jesus. Father, help us in our mind's eye to be where those disciples were as they saw Jesus taken from the garden, as they saw his beaten and bloodied body. Help us remember what it would have been like for his mother to watch him hang and to hear him call out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" How horrible it must have been there on a cross bearing the weight of our sins and the sins of all who will believe. For it truly is a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. May we be a part of that covenant. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.